You're listening to the FQXI podcast. A year ago, in August 2016, China launched the world's first quantum space satellite, named Mysius, in honor of an ancient Chinese philosopher. Over the past few months, a team of Chinese researchers has used the satellite to break distance records for entanglement, showing that particles can maintain quantum links across space. In June, the team reported in the journal Science that entanglement was preserved in pairs of photons sent by Mysius to ground stations separated by over 1,200 kilometres. And in August, the team reported in the journal Nature that they had sent an unbreakable quantum cipher between the satellite and the ground. The team is led by quantum physicist Junhui Pan of the University of Science and Technology of China in Hefei, who says that the satellite has two goals. Firstly, the team has a fundamental aim to test the limits of quantum phenomena, which apply to microscopic objects, across previously unheard of distances.
Because we know, normally and quantum mechanics and relate to, in most of time, to the microscopic object. So, and one open question is how, the theory can work properly and even over large distance or over large scale.
The team's second goal is to lay the foundations for a quantum internet to enable ultra-secure communications around the globe. Such a network would use quantum cryptography to encrypt messages so that they are unhackable.
So the second motivation of our satellite is to investigate the possibility to perform large-scale quantum communication. So, one of the nice solutions to achieve long-distance transmission of a quantum signal is to explore the free space channel. So in this way, by developing and using satellite in free space, we can achieve both missions. So that's the main motivation to launch the satellite.
Quantum cryptography allows ultra-secure communications between users. That's because any attempt to eavesdrop on a message will disturb the transmission, sounding an alert. It has already been successfully demonstrated on the ground and is even in use by some commercial companies. Such secure communications can be encoded in entangled photons that are usually transmitted through optical fibres. But there is a limit to how far these fibres can stretch before the signal becomes too weak to be viable. These weak signals cannot be boosted because amplifying them would destroy their quantum coding. As Pan explains, this limits optical fibre-based transmissions to distances of just a few hundred kilometres.
All formal realization of quantum cryptography is limited up to a few hundred kilometers because the quantum signal cannot be amplified during the propagation in the fiber. So then, the maximum distance of quantum key distribution or quantum cryptography in fiber is limited to the order of 100 kilometers. So normally such a technology is only useful for intra-city secure communication. But if we really want to make such technology useful, then we have to explore the distance and to the global scale.
By successfully distributing a quantum key between the satellite and the ground, the team has shown that a global communications network is feasible. But there's still a long way to go before a quantum internet becomes commonplace. Up to now, the team has transmitted photons in the evening, where there is less noise from photons in sunlight. So one of the first problems Pan says that they need to solve is how to send transmissions during the day.
So the first thing we need to overcome is to make sure the satellite can work in daytime. Because during the day, the sunlight will cause a lot of trouble. Because the sunlight also contains many single photons, and which will contribute lots of noise, so that our satellite can only work at a percent during the evening. So that's one thing we need to solve. And also, we already developed some technology and also perform ground tests in which we show it's also possible to perform quantum key distribution in daylight.
The team also only has a short time window in which to transmit to the satellite because it is in low Earth orbit. To increase this time window, they plan to launch a high orbit satellite, PAN.
So the second thing is, and our current satellite is a low orbital satellite. So every day, we only have one chance to pass through one specific ground station. And such that makes an efficiency very lower. So I mean, every day, probably we only have a few hundred seconds we can perform a quantum key distribution. So currently, we are considering to launch a high orbital satellite. So the communication time can be significantly increased.
PAN predicts that the technology will become more practical in the next 5 to 10 years as China launches more satellites to create a quantum satellite constellation.
Because we have some long-term plan, and within 5 years, we are going to launch one or two or probably several satellites. So some will be in low orbital, so one will be in high orbital. So in this way, we can construct the so-called quantum satellite constellation to make our solution much more efficient. So according to our current knowledge, we are confident, within 5 years, it could already used, for example, by some bank. So in my plan or in our vision, we hope such a technology can be practical in the next 5 to 10 years.
In addition to the hoped-for practical applications, such tests may also allow quantum physicists to learn more about fundamental science. PAN satellite may also open the door to testing theories that attempt to unite quantum physics with Einstein's theory of gravity, general relativity. Many proposed quantum gravity models predict that space-time is grainy on tiny scales. If so, photons travelling from the satellite may be slightly disturbed en route to Earth, causing their polarizations to change. PAN explains how this polarization shift might be picked up in their lab on the ground.
As long as we manage to distribute a single photon over large distance, we can somehow, by measuring and the tiny change of the polarization of a single photon, and we can test the various model of quantum gravity. So in this way, we can pursue lots of things in the field of quantum foundation and the test of special relativity and investigating of quantum gravity model and so on.
PAN satellite to Earth experiments have already set an entanglement distance record through space, but he wants to go further, and with the help of another Chinese space project, PAN is now shooting for the moon.
So then, which means if we want to perform an ultimate test, we need to distribute entanglement over, for example, 300,000 kilometers. Then in the future, I think we also have a planning, because by combining the moon project under investigation in China, and we want to see the possibility in future to achieve distribution of entanglement and between moon and Earth.
Thank you to Jianwei Pan for chatting with Zia. You can read more about China's ascendancy in the quantum space race in an article that Zia wrote for Nature, which we're linking to on the podcast page, www.fqxi.org/community/podcast.
We're also linking to a paper about another quantum communications milestone. While PAN has been exploring space, in August, quantum physicist Tianmin Jin of the University of Shanghai and his colleagues also reported the first demonstration that entanglement between photons can survive over a distance of 36 kilometers in seawater. Jin told me that the work will have applications for the military in particular, because it will help set up secure quantum communications to underwater vehicles. Their experiment, which was carried out in the Yellow Sea, is described in Optics Express.